This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine as to be a light to others. Amen. Good morning. Prayer is one of my favorites. It is one perhaps you are familiar with that Mother Teresa of Calcutta prayed every day. In the documentaries and the movies and the books written about her life, she talks about how special that prayer was to her in her faith walk. We celebrate tomorrow the anniversary of her death 12 years ago. And you might recall that 12 years ago on that day, someone else died as well by the name of Princess Diana. And if you recall what happened in the press, there was all of these stories, cover stories and everything, about Princess Diana, and just a little footnote that, oh, Mother Teresa died today as well. And there was some commentary at the time that history and time would sort that out. That what would last would be the person who was a true saint, not to dismiss the contributions that Princess Diana made in her life, but that this incredible saint of our time would over time be the one who would be surpassing in our memory. And certainly, even 12 years later, that seems to be the case. We celebrate a lot of sainthood these days as we celebrate the anniversary of her death, and we deal with the loss of some of our own people in our community as well. What does it mean to be a saint? Well, certainly the three readings in the psalm that we are given on this kickoff Sunday give us the perfect example. If we did everything that is written in those readings and psalm, we certainly would be well on the way to sainthood. It has to do with what we do and don't do, what we say and don't say, and taking it to a step further, and this is the real crux of the matter. Doing it out of a motivation of a pure heart. A pure heart. There are things that we are not supposed to do. There's a laundry list that was at the end of that gospel that we just heard. And really, it's very simple. It's in those words of that video we watched last year from Bob Newhart. I got two words for you. Stop it. You look at that list, you're doing any of those things, stop it. It's not going to help you on your walk. It's one of those things that we have sort of the Ten Commandments list as well to look at and say, if this is what's going on in your life, there's something wrong. So we start there. But then we move on to doing the right things. And this is important. The challenge we can get into is the challenge that the Pharisees had and have in the gospel today. There are things that we do because they help us to focus. They help us to pay attention. You know, that's what the word religion means in its root word. Re, again, lig, to pay attention. To pay attention again. And so we do these religious things because they are there because they help us to pay attention. The washing of hands that's going on in this gospel has nothing to do with hygiene. Don't go home and tell your kids to read that gospel because they got to wash their hands before they eat their dinner. That's not Jesus' point here. because they don't even know about hygiene in Jesus' day. That doesn't come until about the 17th century. But what it does have to do with is paying attention. The whole thing started, the priests were called, when the sacrifice had been made at the altar, then they would have this ritual eating of that sacrifice. And they would wash their hands ritually, similarly to what we do as priests before we celebrate the Eucharist, because it is something to help us pay attention that what we are about to do has significance and importance. It points to something else. The problem they got into is they started to attach all the importance to that ritual action itself. And it wasn't about the washing of the hands, it was about the importance of the sacrifice. And so when they start getting on Jesus about why aren't your disciples washing their hands, they're caught up in all of this other stuff that was only there to help them to pay attention to what really was important. And they lose their focus. Now, this is not to say that ritual is not important. It is crucial to our lives as human beings. We have bodies, we have minds, we have an ability and a need for these habitual ways in which we continue to remember to pay attention. That's crucial to our life. One of the reasons why we do this every Sunday. There's this saying in our society, I must hear it once a week from somebody who I meet either in the grocery store or on the street, and I ask them about if they have a church home, and they'll say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. You heard that one? Well, I always have a very easy answer for somebody. I challenge you to go home and read the gospel. And after you see how Jesus chooses to be religious, the one who really didn't need it, above all, the one without sin, and if Jesus needed to go to the synagogue, if Jesus needed to go to prayer, if Jesus needed to be gathering his disciples to teach them, then perhaps maybe we all need it as well. We are creatures of habit. And these ways in which we come together give us strength and enable us to pay attention again. That's what it's all about. And so today we kick off our Sunday school. We'll have a celebration of that and commissioning of our teachers and students after communion today. And that first reading, we didn't pick this out of thin air. It was a sign for this Sunday. Remember to tell your children, teach your children these things, because we are creatures of habit. So there are things that we do, there are things that we say, but then there is this matter of the heart. Jesus says that word a lot in this section in Mark's gospel. A pure heart. We celebrate in our community a couple of local saints that we have lost this past week who've gone to heaven. One is Jean Saracola. If you're connected at all with our outreach at the Community Caring Center, you have known Gene. He was the president of the board. He had a heart of gold. Not only did he do the right things, but he did them with the purest of heart. He had an incredible passion for reaching out to the dispossessed in our local community, especially to the homeless. There are many homeless people who now have rooted themselves and have gotten back on track in their lives due to his influence and due to his help. He believed that for somebody to start again, the way that you quit the repetitive behavior is you introduce the element of faith in their life. And he witnessed that and he did it. Even at the last dinner we did for the Community Caring Center, one of the couples that got married were there because they had been homeless and eventually fell in love, and Gene helped them to get back on their feet. Words, deeds, rooted in a pure heart. Most of you are aware that we lost one of our own saints this past week, Mary Allinson. I can think of no one that I have experienced in my time here that did in word and deed and heart what Jesus calls us to do. St. Joseph's was Mary's life. She was the head of the altar guild here, going back to the early days of Father Cassell for over 20 years when she was doing with Marjorie Galbraith. There aren't many people that I could say beat me to church on Sunday morning, but Mary did every week. I could get here at 3 a.m. and Mary would be back there getting things ready for our celebration together. Did she drive us all crazy at times? You betcha. But it was really because she was so dedicated to her ministry and she took it so seriously. And as those who experienced her in her final days got a real insight into the incredible heart and love for God that she had. I think it is very appropriate that we are getting ready to launch into our relook at our strategic mission, vision, and action plan for this church in the wake of sort of Mary's death being the launching pad for this, because I can think of no one who gives us a better example of what we need to be doing in order for God's kingdom to come here in this place. We have a mission statement that says to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. We emphasize this first half so much to bring all people in, but we sort of need to look at that second half to nurture their spiritual development. How do we do that? Well, if you look at a life of a Jean or a Mother Teresa or a Mary Allinson, if we were to be so on fire continually in our hearts with the joy that this gives to us, this place will be bursting at the seams. There is another saint whose feast day we will celebrate tomorrow. And to tell you his story, I need to take you back to AD 635. And at that time, there was a king, Oswald, in Northumbria, northern England now. And he had grown up under the tutelage of the monks of Iona and grew up, became a Christian king. And so he sent word back to the monks at Iona, "I want you to come over here and offer Jesus to my people." And the monks at Iona jump at this opportunity. They choose a man who they think would be up to the task because he, in word and deed, is the one who really, they think, can lead the charge. So he takes 12 of his men. They realize it's going to take a long time for this to happen. But they're surprised when he comes back in 2 months. And it looks like it hasn't worked. And Bede, the historian, says that this were sort of his comments when he comes back. "Those blankety-blank Northumbrians, they're stupid, they're pig-headed. In fact, they're plain barbarians. They're too brutish to learn anything. They're warriors, and they don't even understand Latin." Can you imagine that? "And no interest in the church or its services. It just can't be done." Well, there happens to be a monk at Iona who's sitting in the back of the room and he just can't contain himself. And so he speaks up and he says this, "Brother, it seems to me that you were too hard on these untaught minds. You expected too much too soon. You should have followed the example of the apostles and begun by giving them the milk of simple teaching, gradually instructing them until they were able to accept more. You cannot force people to be where you want them to be without showing them what they are missing by remaining as they are." Powerful words. You cannot force people to be where you want them to be without showing them what they are missing by remaining as they are. And how do we do that? It is by living in such a way with the joy and the excitement of having Jesus in our lives that they will want it too. The monk's name was Aidan. We celebrate him as one of the greatest Celtic saints in our church. He went on to build the priory at Lindisfarne. He went on to be the one who led the charge with the entire Northern English conversion to Christianity. He's the one that brought St. Hilda into the fold as well. And all of her work was a result of what Aidan did for her. It is important not to do what we're not supposed to do, to do what we're supposed to do, to say what we're supposed to say, but above all, to do it with that heart. Because we know what Jesus has done for us, and we know that if we live that way, we will have the fullness in our own hearts as well as in the hearts of others. We can be like Mother Teresa. We can be like Jean, like Mary, like Aidan, if we are willing to let God change us. I close with a short story of a man who said, "When I was young, I thought I would change the world. When I realized I couldn't do that, I decided I would try to change my local community. When I knew I couldn't do that, I decided I would focus on changing my family. I couldn't do that either. So I decided to let God change me. And by so doing, I was able to achieve everything I wanted with others." May it be so for us. Amen.